Hallo, Deutschlerner! My last video introduced you to the perfect tense through a conversation about the question, Was hast du am Wochenende gemacht? What did you do on the weekend? If you haven't seen that video yet, I recommend that you watch that first. There's a link in the description for that. Today I'm going to explain a little bit about the perfect tense, how to form it, how the regular verbs work, and when to use it. First, let's talk about the purpose of the perfect tense. The perfect tense is primarily used when speaking in German about events or actions that occurred in the past. It is commonly used in emails and letters as well. The actions described in the perfect tense, however, must be completed and not continue into the present. If an event continues into the present tense, in German we use the Präsens for that. The perfect tense, however, is only used for things that have already happened and are done. There's often a lot of confusion online around the translation of the perfect tense, because in English we have a thing called the present perfect tense. The word perfect, and the fact that you form the present perfect in a very similar way to what you do with the perfect tense, contributes to the idea that people call the perfect tense just the German present perfect tense. The problem is that the use of the present perfect tense in English is completely different from that of the perfect tense in German. I often get questions in the comments asking why I didn't use the English present perfect tense to translate the German perfect tense. In English, when we say something in the present perfect tense, we mean that that action is continuing on into the present, which, as I already mentioned, requires the Präsens in German, and not the perfect. The better translation from the German perfect into English is the English simple past. For this reason, you'll see me use the English simple past as a translation for each sentence in this video. Now that we know when to use the perfect, let's get into the creation of the perfect tense. The perfect tense requires two parts, the first being a helping verb. This tense uses either haben or sein as a helping verb, and then you conjugate them just like you would if you were using them in the present tense, which is likely the only way that you've encountered these verbs so far in your German learning. Traditionally, German teachers have said that you use sein as a helping verb when the main verb shows that there is motion or change in location, but this causes some confusion when you get to the words like sein and bleiben, which both use sein as a helper, but clearly don't mean to show motion or change in location. I've argued in the past for the terminology of transitive and intransitive verbs. Transitive verbs are those that require or often take direct objects, and therefore would have haben as their helping verb. Intransitive verbs don't get direct objects and use sein as their helping verb. This does require the students to remember what those terms mean, but it explains sein and bleiben better than the motion versus non-motion method. Unfortunately, this causes other issues, as verbs that have to do with your body and a whole lot of other verbs that don't have direct objects still use haben as the helper. So now in my classes, I teach a kind of hybrid methodology. Use motion versus non-motion as your main method. But remember that certain intransitive verbs, sein and bleiben, require the use of sein without motion. Also, if you use a verb of motion with a direct object, you still need haben instead of sein as the helper. This is due to the fact that you change the verb into a transitive verb, which requires haben. Verbs like reisen, to travel, wandern, to hike, fliegen, to fly, and fahren, to drive, use sein in the perfect tense. But the verbs fliegen and fahren can use haben if you have a direct object. For example, if you're flying a plane or driving a car. If you say that using the plane or the car as the direct object, you need haben as the helping verb. Since those verbs are both irregular verbs, I'll show you examples of those in the next video. Verbs like haben, to have, machen, to do, arbeiten, to work, reden, to speak, fotografieren, to photograph, and many more use haben as their helping verb. Most of these are due to the fact that they have direct objects, but many of them rely on the non-motion verb rule. Arbeiten, for example, generally doesn't have a direct object, but it does have the verb haben in the perfect tense. The second component of the perfect tense is what is known as either the past participle or in German a Partizip 2. Regular verbs show a very distinct pattern and are easy to figure out just by looking at the infinitive of the verb. Irregular verbs, however, don't follow such clean patterns, so I'm saving those for the next video. To form the Partizip 2 of a regular verb, start by removing the en from the end of the infinitive to reveal the verb's stem. For example, the verb stem of machen would be mach. Now we add ge to the front and t to the end of the verb. This gives us gemacht as the Partizip 2 of machen. Since machen is not a motion verb and it's a transitive verb, we use haben as the helper. Here's an example of machen in the perfect tense. Was hast du am Wochenende gemacht? What did you do this weekend? As you can see in this example, I conjugated the verb haben to go with do, which gave me hast. I put hast where the conjugated verb usually goes, in this case, right after the question word was. The Partizip 2 is at the end of the sentence, right before the punctuation. Let's try another regular verb. Infinitive, reisen. Verbstamm, reis. Partizip 2, gereist. Ich bin im Sommer nach Deutschland gereist. I traveled to Germany in the summer. This time I used sein as a helping verb because the verb reisen means to travel and obviously shows motion or change in location. It also doesn't have a direct object, which makes it an intransitive verb. Since both rules point to sein, we use sein as the helping verb. I put sein where the conjugated verb goes, which, since this is a statement, is directly behind the subject of ich. The Partizip 2 of reisen is gereist, which I put at the end of the sentence. The verbs machen and reisen are regular verbs, which is why they get ge added to the front and a t to the end when making the Partizip 2. Other verbs do something similar, but not quite exactly the same. There are a few extra rules that we need to know before we can claim to be masters of all of the regular verbs of the perfect tense. Rule number one, verb stems that have t or d require an added e between the stem and the final t of the Partizip 2. This also happens when there is a cluster of consonants that would make it difficult to pronounce without the additional e. For example, infinitive arbeiten, Verbstamm Arbeit, Partizip 2, gearbeitet. Mein Vater hat 20 Jahre bei dieser Firma gearbeitet. My father worked at this company for 20 years. Infinitive, reden. Verbstamm, red. Partizip 2, geredet. Die Mutter hat mit der Lehrerin geredet. The mother talked with the teacher. Infinitive, atmen. Verbstamm, atmen. Partizip 2, geatmet. Wir haben tief durchgeatmet. We breathed deeply. Rule number two. If a verb has a separable prefix, the Partizip 2 requires the GE between the prefix and the rest of the verb. For example, infinitive, aufwachen. Verbstamm, wach. Partizip 2, aufgewacht. Ich bin mitten in der Nacht aufgewacht. I woke up in the middle of the night. Infinitive, vorstellen. Verbstamm, stell. Partizip 2, vorgestellt. Die Lehrerin hat den Kindern die neue Schülerin vorgestellt. The teacher introduced the new student to the children. Infinitive, zuhören. Verbstamm, hör. Partizip 2, zugehört. Hast du mir nicht zugehört? Didn't you listen to me? Rule number three. If a verb has an inseparable prefix, the Partizip 2 does not add GE to the beginning. For example, infinitive, erzählen. Verbstamm, erzähl. Partizip 2, erzählt. Sein Vater hat ihm jede Nacht eine Geschichte erzählt. His father told him a story every night. Infinitive, versuchen. Verbstamm, Versuch. Partizip 2, versucht. Sie hat versucht, einen Kuchen zu backen. She tried to bake a cake. Infinitive, verabreden. Verbstamm, verabred. Partizip 2, verabredet. Wir haben verabredet, nicht mehr vor den Kindern zu streiten. We agreed not to argue in front of the children anymore. Rule number four. If a verb ends with ieren or ihren, there is no ge added to the front of the Partizip 2. Fun fact, every single one of these, and I do mean every verb that ends with ieren, is regular every time in every tense. Infinitive, apportieren. Verbstamm, apportier. Partizip 2, apportiert. Der Hund hat fast eine Stunde Bälle apportiert. The dog fetched balls for almost an hour. Infinitive, fotografieren. Verbstamm, fotografier. Partizip 2, fotografiert. Als Kind habe ich fast alles fotografiert. As a child, I photographed almost everything. Infinitiv, studieren. Verbstamm, studier. Partizip 2, studiert. Ihr Bruder hat Chemie an der Uni studiert. Her brother studied chemistry at the university. I mentioned earlier that the perfect tense is usually used when speaking. What I didn't mention is the use of haben or sein. Since haben uses haben as a helping verb in the perfect tense, and sein uses sein, it's often considered redundant to use these verbs in this tense. Most people will just use the preteritum tense of these two verbs when speaking instead of using the perfect tense. While you will often read online that the two versions of haben and sein, perfect and preteritum, can be used interchangeably, in practice this really isn't the case. It's another instance of native speakers overlooking a pattern because it's become too familiar to them. Pay attention to the following examples. Ich war im Club und meine Ex-Freundin ist auch da gewesen. I was in the club and my ex-girlfriend was there too. The first half was written in the preteritum tense, as it was continuing action in the past. It sort of sets the stage for when the second action occurred. The second half is the action that is done or complete. Let's switch the sentence around and see what happens. Ich bin im Club gewesen und meine Ex-Freundin war auch da. I was in the club and my ex-girlfriend was there too. In this version, the presence of the ex-girlfriend sets the time when everything else happens, and the first half of the sentence shows what happened during that time frame. The bottom line, the perfect tense is a completed action, while preteritum, or simple past, is an ongoing action occurring within the past. In practice, most people don't see a distinction because the difference is so subtle. The real difference is, when speaking, the perfect tense is more common, and when writing, the preteritum is more common. The preteritum is also often used with modal verbs, dürfen, können, mögen, müssen, sollen, and wollen. But this has to do with the additional verb that would be used with the modal verb. Since the modal verbs are often paired with another verb to convey the desired meaning, it just gets kind of messy with the perfect tense. If you don't have an additional verb with the modal verb, however, the perfect tense is used. Most of the modal verbs are used as a sort of regular verb in the perfect tense, with one notable change. I say sort of regular because the ones with umlauts will lose the umlaut in the perfect tense. But otherwise, they're just regular. There's also the verb mögen, which is irregular and uses the Partizip 2 gemocht. Here are a few examples using modal verbs in the perfect tense. Meine Schwester kommt gegen 3 Uhr morgens nach Hause. Ich habe das nicht gedurft. My sister comes home at 3 o'clock in the morning. I wasn't allowed to do that. Ich habe diesen Film gemocht. I liked this film. Ich habe dieses Getränk nicht gewollt. I didn't want this drink. As I mentioned, the use of modal verbs in the perfect tense is pretty rare. If you want to learn about how to use the past tense of modal verbs, I have an excellent post on my website about that, which I have linked in the description.